Translation. Thus, desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhav, sounding his flute, surrounded by the cowherd boys who were chanting his glories and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. So this verse, Madhava Venu, so we were discussing some of the glories of Krishna's Venu yesterday. You hear about the pastimes, and so we want to mention a few more points about Krishna's Venu, and then discuss something about this word Madhav, because the acharyas that are quoted in the purport say that Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune, Madhava means spring, and Madhava means sweetness, or as it says here, he who enjoys pastimes in the taste of conjugal love, Madhu, or Madhurya Leela, Madhurya Bhav. So as far as the Venu, in the morning when Krishna's in Nandagaon, he's being dressed by Mother Yashoda, sometimes some coward boys come and help him. So one day, a gopa named Vishala, he came and he was taking Krishna's ankle bells and he was tying them around Krishna's ankles. Then Krishna was standing there on a small dais, a small raised platform, dressing platform. And then he took his Venu and he tapped Vishala on the head. Tap! And Mother Yashoda was standing there, "Hey, what are you doing? Why did you hit him on the head?" And then Vishala looked at Krishna and Krishna looked at Vishala and they started laughing and laughing and laughing. So Krishna was just playing and taking his flute and tapping them on the head. It was like a little pastime, a very sweet, intimate exchange with his gopa friends. And then there's another point that Prabhupada mentions. He discusses about the qualities or actions of the Vaishya. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, Krishigo Raksha Vanijam. That the Vaishya community, they have particular activities. The farming, krishi, goraksha, protection of cows, and vanijam, engaging in commerce and business. So Prabhupada said that Krishna and Balaram, they are the ideal Vaishyas. They're members of the coward community of Vrindavan, and that Balaram, he carries a plow, hala. And with the plow, he's engaged in the farming business, in agriculture. Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So we say Haladara Rupa, that person who is carrying or holding the hala, the plow. The Prabhupada said that this Krishi, what he said in the purport, he said Krishi Raksha and Go Raksha. That's what he said. But at any rate, Balaram, he carries the plow, so this represents the farming or agriculture, cultivating the land. And Krishna, he plays his flute, his Venu especially, his Madhava Venu, the Venu or the flute of Madhav. And with that flute, he controls all of the cows, he tends the cows, and he protects the cows. So that is Goraksha. So Krishna and Balaram, with their hala and Vamshi or Venu, with their plow and their flute, they're engaged in Krishi Goraksha. This is their business. So this Krishna with the flute, he represents this particular point. And then we see, when we discuss about this Venu, this Madhava Venu, in Vrindavan, as this verse mentions, it is very sweet. Krishna's flute and all of his relationships, they're pervaded by and saturated with sweetness. So we see when Krishna plays his flute in Vrindavan, his Venu, or Vamshi Murali, let's say his Venu, when he plays his Venu, then all the coward boys, they dance, and all the cows, they run to Krishna, and everyone is very happy, and they enjoy the sound of the flute. It is simply, Krishna is a good musician. He plays very wonderfully on the flute. So in Vrindavan, the flute has a very regular influence. It's very sweet. Doesn't display any opulence. It's simply, everyone's enjoying the sound of the flute. The birds are singing along with the flute. Sometimes Radharani plays the veena along with Krishna's Vamshi or Murali. They play together and they have concerts, music concerts together, especially at night in Ras Lila. But we see, although Vrindavan, the atmosphere of Vrindavan, this wonderful sweet flute is echoing everywhere. in the forests, in the trees, along the banks of the Yamuna, so everyone can hear the sound of the flute. But this same flute, as it rises above Lila Bhumi, Sri Vrindavan Dham, or Brajabhumi, as it rises above, then it takes on a whole different aspect. It starts to display Achintya Shakti, inconceivable power. This little tiny flute, a 6-inch piece of dry bamboo, Shukavansh, a six inch piece of dry bamboo has Achintya Shakti, inconceivable power and potency. And when Krishna, although Krishna's flute is Madhurya, it's very sweet in Vrindavan, and it's known as Venu Madhurya. Krishna has these four sweetnesses that he exhibits, and one of them is Venu Madhurya, the sweetness of his flute. But that Madhurya aspect is only in Vrindavan. When the sound of Krishna's flute rises through the universe, it starts to display a whole other aspect, the Aishvarya. That same little flute displays the qualities of majesty, grandeur, power, extraordinary influence, or prabhav. So this little flute, all of a sudden, when it leaves Vrindavan, it becomes this Aishvarya aspect. And when this flute sound, when it rises up to Lord Shiva's ears, when he hears the sound of the flute, Krishna's flute, he's dancing and Shiva's playing his damru, ta 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 ta. And then as soon as Lord Shiva hears the Madhava Venu, the Venu of Madhava, he stops. Completely stops playing his damru. He's chamatkara. He's in wonder, amazement, astonishment. And then the flute rises. The sound of the flute rises to Tapaloka. On Tapaloka, the sages and rishis are absorbed in deep meditation. But as soon as the flute sound rises there, immediately it breaks their meditation. They open their eyes. What was that? What's that? They lose all their concentration, all their dhyan, all their dhruva smriti, anusmriti. They can't fix their minds. And then the four kumaras are also meditating. They become disturbed in their meditation. And when Lord Brahma, when he hears the flute, he becomes completely astonished. What is that? What is that amazing sound? He becomes astonished. And then Anantashesh, he is sitting there very calmly and very peacefully holding the planets on his head. He's supporting everything, Anantashesh. But when Anantashesh hears the sound of Madhava's Venu, he starts swaying back and forth. It's like you see when this cobra wala, you know, when he plays his little horn or something, like a shanai or something, whatever it is, then the cobra comes up. So Anantashesh starts swaying and rocking back and forth. And meanwhile, the whole universe is like earthquakes all over the universe. The planets are just spinning around. So this is outside of Vrindavan, this incredible power, this little tiny flute. It's disturbing the whole universe. And not only that, but as Krishna continues to play his flute, the sound vibration of Krishna's Madhava, or this Madhava Venu, rises higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Then it penetrates. It actually pierces the 8 coverings of the universe. Bhumirapo nalovayu kamanobut. And goes all the way through. Then it reaches the Paravyom, the spiritual sky, and it reverberates. It reverberates and echoes throughout all the planets of the spiritual sky. A little tiny flute. So this is the Achintya Shakti. This is the Aishvarya aspect of Krishna's Venu, Madhava Venu. But in Vrindavan, it's simply a small little flute, and he takes it inside his dhoti on the right hand side, and on the left hand side he tucks his singha, his buffalo horn, and under his arm he has his cowherding stick, and he's walking along. When Krishna loves his flute so much, he's never separated from his flute. Even if he disguises himself, sometimes Krishna disguises himself as a boatman, Anoka, or he disguises himself as a female fruit seller, a fal wali, and dresses as Shamasaki in order to break Radharani's man or to meet with her. And all these different disguises, when Krishna disguises himself as a lady or a boatman or whatever, always the flute is there. Underneath his shirt, underneath, somewhere it's there. It's inseparable. Because this is part of Krishna. The Acharyas explain that in Vrindavan, Krishna shows the utmost limit of sweetness. The topmost limit of sweetness is shown by Krishna in Vrindavan. It's the param Madhurya Sima, the topmost limit of Madhurya. But outside of Vrindavan, we see all this Aishwarya, this opulence, this power, this omnipotence and omnipresence of Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu. So this is one of the special characteristics that distinguish Krishna from any other form of Godhead. What is it that distinguishes Krishna from any other form of Godhead? It is his sweetness, his madhu. And that's why they're saying that the word Madhava means madhu, the sweetness of his pastimes. So Krishna is sweet from all sides. Because there's only four directions, basic directions, north, south, east, west. So from all sides, Krishna is sweet. Just like if you take a rasgulla, or a gulab jamun, or a mystery. If you bite it here, or here, or here, or here, any side you bite it, it will be sweet. Equally sweet. So Krishna, on one side, he's Lila Madhurya. His pastimes are very sweet. Another side, he's Prema Madhurya. His love is very sweet. Another side, he's Rupa Madhurya. His beautiful body is so sweet. And on another side, his Venu Madhurya. This verse says, Madhava Venu. Venu Madhurya. The sweetness of his flute. So these particular sweetness in Vrindavan, all the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, they are relishing a very rich and tasty sweetness in their relationship with Krishna. This is what Krishna has 64 qualities. And the four qualities that distinguish him from any other form of Godhead are these four Madhuryas. Lila Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Venu Madhurya. So Venu has a lot to do with it, his sweetness. Although, as we explained, outside of Vrindavan, when Krishna's flute sound goes outside of Vrindavan, the whole universe becomes affected. Brahma becomes astonished. Shiva stops playing his din-din drum. Anantashesh is swaying this way and that way. So much power. But in Vrindavan, it's only sweetness. People say, oh, it's so nice. He plays such nice flute. And the cows run and gopas run and dance. So this is something to understand, the unique position of Vrindavan and Krishna's Braja Leela. And this is what is attractive, what is so especially attractive of Krishna. Krishna means karshan or attraction. But what makes Krishna attractive is his sweetness of his dealings. The Acharyas explain that in Vrindavan, Vishnu Chakravarti explains in the purport in the fourth canto, chapter 27, Prabhupada's quoting, he says in Vrindavan, the cows and everyone in Vrindavan, they are on the platform of Rag Marg. The cows and the cowherd boys, the trees, everyone is on the platform of Rag Marg. Rag Marg means spontaneous attraction and attachment to Krishna in this beautiful Madhurya Roop, this Madhava. Names and forms of the Lord. So he explains that ordinarily, if you take cows, for example, Gaya, and in Vaikuntha, in Narayan Lok, in Vishnu Lok, there are also cows.
But the cows in
Shantaras. But in Vrindavan, their Shantaras becomes Vatsalya Ras because of the in immense sweetness of Krishna and all of his relationships. So the cow in Vaikuntha, the Surabhi Mata, the Surabhi cow, who's in a Shantaras relationship with Narayan, she gives milk, and she's part of the environment. That a cow in Vrindavan, they're in Vatsalya Bhav, because they offer their milk to Krishna directly to drink. They're his mothers. Not only that, Krishna himself, he becomes a Vatsa. He becomes a calf. And he goes to those mother cows, and he drinks their udder, from their udders or stana. He directly drinks their milk. And then they, the mother cows, they lovingly lick Krishna. And not only that, when the cows of Vrindavan, when they hear Krishna's flute, this Madhava Venu, this verse says Madhava Venu, when the cows hear Krishna's flute, they experience sattvic ecstasies, sattvic vikars, transformations of the body due to the excitement of their sthaibhav or their loving relationship as Krishna's mothers. They are Krishna's mothers in Vatsalya Ras. Vatsalya Ras means parental love. So when Krishna plays or when Madhava plays his all-attractive sweet Venu, then the cows, they raise their ears, and with the upraised vessel of their ears, they drink the liquid nectar of Krishna's flute song. Their ears become cups, like gilas, you say gilas. The ears become vessels to drink the liquid nectar of Krishna's flute. And when they drink that nectar, that drinking of the, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute fills them with vatsalya, excites their vatsalya bhav, their vatsalya ras, their loving mood as Krishna's mother. And he is their son. And then, different ecstasies start to manifest in their body. First of all, they're chewing grass in their mouth. They're chewing the grass and they stop. They become immobilized. They stop moving. If they're moving in the pastures, they freeze right where they are. They stop moving. They become immobilized. And they're chewing grass. They don't move. It's called stumbha. They become stunned in ecstasy. And with their eyes, with their gentle, soft eyes, the cows with their gentle, soft eyes, they embrace Krishna. They embrace Madhava. And they take him into their hearts through the aperture of their eyes, the opening of their eyes. And they embrace him in their hearts. And as they're embracing their beloved son, he's their son, they're his mother. As they're embracing Krishna in their hearts, they start to feel overwhelming love. And that love comes back out of their eyes in the form of prema ashru. Tears of love start trickling down the face of the mother cows as they look at their beloved Krishna. You see the difference between the cows in Vaikuntha with their Shantaras and the cows in Vrindavan? Vishwanath Chakravarti is saying. So in Vrindavan, every single rasa in Vrindavan, Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, and Madhuriras, all the rasas are saturated with sweetness, with an intimacy, with a tasty, relishable sweetness. In Vrindavan, in Krishna's Vrindavan, there is no such thing as Shuddha Dasya Bhav, or Shuddha Sakya Bhav, or Shuddha Vatsalya Bhav. We see in Vaikuntha, there is a planet known as Ayodhya. And there is one very, very great and famous devotee of Lord Ram who lives there. He's a very famous devotee. I'm not asking any comments, I'm speaking. There's one very famous devotee of Lord Ram. And he is absorbed in serving Ram. Ram is my master. I will die for Ram. I will live for Ram. I will breathe for Ram. Ram is in my heart. Ram is in my mind. Ram is in my eyes, my ears. Everything is Ram. He is my master. Ekalishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There is only one master for me, Lord Ram. He is fixed. He is nishta. He is nishta in Dasya Bhav. He is fixed in Dasya Ras. He displays and exhibits the quality of Shuddha Dasya Bhav. Pure service mood. Without Madhurya. That person who exhibits Shuddha Bhakti Ras in Vaikuntha, in Ayodhya, is known as Hanuman. Hanuman. Rajangi. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. It's explained in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are 9 forms of bhakti, Navavidhi Bhakti. And one of them is called Dasya Bhakti. Right? Dasya. Parasevanam Dasyam. So that devotee, That devotee who attained perfection by serving the Lord with pure service attitude is Hanuman, as you know. There's one devotee for each one of the nine limbs of devotion. The devotee who attained perfection by hearing is Parikshit Maharaj. The devotee who attained perfection by kirtanam or chanting is Shukadev. You know these things. So in Vaikuntha, what we're doing, we're explaining to you the difference between Vaikuntha, the bhav, the love and the moods of Vaikuntha and the moods of Vrindavan. It's very important to hear the difference, understand the difference. So this, in Vrindavan, the cows are in Vatsalya Ras. So in Vrindavan, you take Govardhan. Bhulgiraj Dharanaki. You take Giriraj Parvat, Govardhan Hill, and so many other Parvats are there. And you take the land of Vrindavan. So ordinarily, mountains and land, if you're in Vaikuntha, there is land, Chintamani Dham, there is land and there must be mountains and hills. But those mountains and hills and in Vaikuntha are in Shantaras. They are in Shantaras. But Vishwanath Chakravarti explains, in Vrindavan, because of this Madhurya, because every devotee in Vrindavan is actually tasting some sweetness. All the rasas in Vrindavan, whether they're Dasi Ras or Sakhi Ras or Vatsali Ras, they are full of Madhurya. Madhurya is pervading them. In fact, Dasi Ras, Sakhi Ras, and Vatsali Ras, they act to nourish and assist Krishna's Madhurya Leelas, his loving, sweet conjugal pastimes with Srimati Radhika and the gopis. They're all connected. So in Vrindavan, contrary to Vaikuntha, in Vrindavan, the mountains, especially Govardhan, and the land is not in Shantaras. What ras are they in? They're in Sakya ras. Sakya. Sakya means Sakha. Means friend. They are Krishna's friend. Especially Haridas Bharya. Haridas Bharya. Gopis explain that Giri Govardhan, Govardhan Hill, he is Haridas Bharya. He's such a great friend. He's such an intimate bosom friend of Krishna. Vishrambena. Vishrambena Sakyaras. There's Gaurava. Gaurava Sakiras and Vishrambena. Vishrambena means very intimate, very loving, very dear. So Giriraj, Govardhan, he serves Krishna in so many intimate ways, providing him food and drink, clear, crystal clear water to drink, wonderful sweet fruits to eat, wonderful mineral dyes and powders and different rajas to decorate his face with yellow and red and different colors, painting his face. And wonderful shiny rocks and shilas to use for mirrors. Very shiny, highly polished shilas and rocks of Govardhan. Krishna uses for a mirror, for painting. And beautiful rocks to sit on and lie on. And when it rains in the monsoon time, there's so many gufa or kundali, so many caves inside Govardhan. And Krishna has Giriraj is such a friend that he provides facility for Krishna and all of his rasas. Wonderful sweet grasses for the cows to eat. So many wonderful groves and kunjas for Krishna to enjoy with the gopis. And so many lakes like Manasi Ganga for the boys to play and swim. So Giriraj and the land of Vrindavan, it is all Krishna's friend. And if you take, in Vrindavan, if you take the animals, the wild animals like the deer, or you take the trees and the plants, they are also considered ordinarily to be in Shantaras. But they, in Vrindavan, because of this Madhurya aspect, they are actually in Dasyaras. They are serving Krishna like us. They are acting like Krishna's servants. In the morning, in Nishant Leela, when Krishna is in Nidiban in Vrindavan, he is resting very nicely after dancing all night with the gopis. He's resting there. So Brindadevi wants to make different arrangements to wake up Krishna. Because here he is in Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna. But at 6 a.m., Purnamasi and Yashoda and so many devotees will come into his room in Nandagaon and say, "Hey, Lala, wake up, come on, Kanu. Time to milk the cows, wake up." And if he's not there, they will be so unhappy. So Brindadevi's trying to wake Krishna, wake up. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Of course, not a Jeev, but Bhagavan Jago. He says, wake up, wake up. the sky is turning pink. Soon the sun will rise. You must run home and jump into your bed and pretend to be sleeping. So when the Mother Yashoda comes in, she can wake you. So at that time, Brindadevi engages different servants to help her and to serve Krishna by trying to wake him up. The tota, the mayur, the moor, the parrots, the peacock, and the kokil or the quail. She says, please you sing. Then she calls the deer, hey mriga, mrigakshi, hey deer, or mrigakshi, hey deer, doe-eyed one. So she calls the deer. She says, go in, go to the door of the kunj. Go to the doorway of the kunj and look at Krishna. Look at Krishna with your moist eyes, your innocent and moist, peaceful eyes. Look at Krishna. Take his darshan. Relish his wonderful darshan. So the deer, they come and they stand at the entrance to the kunj and they look at Krishna with great love and sweetness. Then Krishna, he interlocks his fingers like this. And he stretches his arms up. Oh, Radhe. Sure, Radhe. And then he looks. He opens his eyes very slowly. He glances at Srimati Radhika and smiles. And she opens her eyes and smiles at him. Then he looks to the side of the pushpapalang, the flower bed. And he sees the door of the kunj and he hears outside different sakis and mandris moving about with their ankle bells jingling very sweetly. Then he notices, then when he opens his eyes more clearly, then he looks into the eye of the deer. He sees the eyes of the deer. And he feels so happy and so peaceful when he sees the eyes of the deer. So the deer are acting as servants. They're in Dasyaras. They're serving Krishna at that moment by giving him happiness and satisfaction when he opens his eyes in the beginning of the day. In Nikunj Lila. It's called Nikunja Banga Lila. Nikunja Banga. Nishant Lila. 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, like this. So, we can understand how attractive this Brajabhumi is, this Braja Lila is. It's explained by the Acharyas, that the sweetness of Krishna, the jyoti, the madhurya jyoti, the effulgence of Krishna's sweetness, the what we say in English, effulgence or the jyoti, the effulgence of Krishna's sweetness in Vrindavan is so bright, so brilliant, that it easily eclipses any aishvarya or opulence in any place around the universe. Nowhere else on any Vaikuntha planet, in any place in Vaikuntha, will you find the sweetness that you find in Braja Lila, Braja Bhumi. This is Lila Bhumi. Vrindavan is, everything is sweet there. So now we're beginning these pastimes of Poganda Lila, Dainakavad, the killing of Dainakasura, and so many other pastimes. So we can reflect and remember what is the special position of Vrindavan, Brajabhumi, Leelabhumi, and the special sweetness of the relationships that Krishna shares there with all of his devotees. So we'll close there if there's any comments, questions on this point. So in the beginning of this chapter, there is a summary of the chapter. So we'll read the chapter summary. The killing of Dainuka, the ass demon. This chapter describes how Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, while tending cows in the pastures of Vrindavan, killed Dainakasura and enabled the residents of Vrindavan to eat the fruits of the tala tree. And he also, in this chapter, you will find the Kaliya Mardana, how Krishna saved the gopas, the young gopas, from Kaliya's poison. At this time, Krishna and Balaram were revealing their Poganda Lila, and they were bringing the cows to pasture one day, and they entered an attractive forest decorated with a clear lake. There they began playing various forest sports with their friends. Pretending to feel tired, Lord Baladev laid his head on the lap of a cowherd boy to rest, And another coward boy massaged Dauji's feet. In this way, Krishna and Balaram and all their Gopa friends enjoyed various pastimes. During all this play, Sridham, Subal, Stoka Krishna, and other coward boys described to Ram and Krishna about a wicked, irrepressible demon named Dainuka, who had assumed the form of a jackass and was living in the Talavan forest near Govardhan Hill. This forest was full of many varieties of sweet fruits, but fearing this demon, no one dared try to relish the taste of those fruits. And thus, someone had to kill the demon and all his associates. After hearing the situation, Lord Ram and Krishna set off to the forest of Talavan to fulfill the desires of their companions. Arriving at Talavan, Lord Balaram shook the tala trees, he shook the palm trees, and all the fruit started to fall. And as soon as he did that, the jackass demon Dainuka ran swiftly to attack Balaram. Balaram grabbed his hind legs with one hand, and he whirled him around and threw him in the top of a tree, thus killing him. All of Dainukasura's associates, they became overcome by fury and anger. They rushed to attack Ram and Krishna. But Ram and Krishna took hold of each one of them and threw them away, swung them around and killed them until the complete disturbance was finished. When Krishna and Balaram returned to their Gopa friends or to the coward community of Braj, Yashoda and Rohini placed them on their respective laps. They kissed their faces and fed them with finely prepared food and put them to bed. So, all in a day's work, Prabhupada said that every day Krishna was going on Gocharan Leela in Vrindavan. It's Poganda Leela, Kaishar Leela. He was going out, and every single day before 12 o'clock noon, before noon, Krishna was killing at least two or three demons every single day as a regular affair. So here he killed all these Dainuka and all his friends. Then he went home, had a nice meal. He was kissed and hugged by his mother, then took rest. Then the next day, so two or three demons every day he was killing. There's 19 or 20 demons mentioned in Bhagavatam. We only have 12 cantos here on this planet. There's 12 cantos. But in the higher planets, in Swargatapa, Jana, they also have Bhagavatam, and there are hundreds of cantos. Very extensive descriptions of all many, many pastimes of Krishna. But Krishna's leelas are ananta, unlimited leelas. But the sweetest, most attractive pastimes are those of Krishna and Vrindavan. So now we're very fortunate to spend the next so many months relishing Krishna's Vrindavan leelas. So may we drink deeply from these discussions of Krishna's pastimes and actually honor and worship and appreciate the land of Vrindavan and the Brijvasi devotees there that are so much in love with Krishna and have such a sweet, beautiful relationship with him. And if we become attracted to the Brijvasis, the Parikars, the Nitya Parishads of Krishna, Yashoda, Nanda, Subal, Sridham, Lalita, Vishakha, Radharani, and we become attracted to them, and then we feel some taste and we feel some desire to follow in their footsteps. That's called anugata. We will follow them. And then we can begin the second stage of sadhana bhakti. The first stage of sadhana bhakti is vaidhi sadhana. The second stage of sadhana bhakti is raganuga sadhana bhakti. Raganuga is sadhana bhakti. Raganuga leads to bhava bhakti, and bhava bhakti leads to prema bhakti, which is the goal. This is the param gati. The supreme perfection and topmost goal of life is to attain Krishna prema.